When we're dancing and you're dangerously close to me, I get ideas, I get ideas. I wanna hold you so much closer than I dare to. I wanna scold you cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me with the fire in every finger, I get ideas, I get ideas. And after we have said goodnight, and then you look out, I kind of figured you got ideas too. Your eyes are always saying things you'll never say. I think they could be saying that you could love me too. Oh, but that's the whole idea. It's true.
Hey, 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 how's it going out there? Welcome. It's us. It's Carolyn. It's me. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
How you guys doing? This is, in fact, the Carolyn and Joe Show.
My ears.
I hope everyone's doing pretty awesome out there. It's another week. It may be raining. It may be shining. Maybe doing whatever it is you are doing out there. But thank you for joining us for another 51 minutes of absolutely awesome. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going excellent. Today, it seems like it's cloudy.
It is true. Today,
at least where
we are,
it could
be cloudy.
We don't know where you are, so it could be sunny, or it could be a tornado.
Or it could be a tornado.
A hurricane, or a hurricane, which is a hurricane earthquake at the same time.
Yes.
And that's actually my favorite, the hurricane.
And depending on how or who you are, the weather could change the way your day goes. It's very crucial. It's just like that Stone Temple Pilots song that where they have the lyric that goes, so much could depend on the weather. And that's true.
My favorite STP song is the one that has Sarah Michelle Gellar in the video.
Good old Sarah Michelle Gellar in that Sour Girl video.
Yeah, Sour Girl. That's my favorite one. But I don't know if I love the video because they have like that Teletubby dude.
I have no idea even how that video like. The idea of that.
Well, I like the song Sour Girl, and that's probably my favorite STP song. But then, like, there's this, I think it was like some type of purple creature that looks similar to Teletubby, like bouncing around with her. And I'm just not a fan. I can't look at that creature and be like, that guy is cool.
I have no idea.
But it would be cooler if it was like Grimace from McDonald's or something.
If only. Hey, it's time for the news.
The news! Okay. You guys, guess what's coming up? Annapolis Comic Con. Annapolis Comic Con. It's on June 29th, which is a Saturday. This is a one-day show from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Annapolis, Maryland. And the special guest is Travis Love from The Walking Dead.
Zombie.
We're back. We're going to be there. You can meet us in person. At Annapolis Comic Con. I'm so excited. There's going to be over 50 artists and over 30 exhibitors. And there's going to be a costume contest. And there's going to be kids activities all day long. It's going to be so fun. Annapolis Comic Con on June 29th. And see Curl Studio there.
That's us.
Which is Joe and I. Yeah, we're going to be there. And then we have some other tour dates, but they're in the fall. Not really worth mentioning at this time because it's too far out. It's far out, dude.
Dude, it's way far out.
It's way far out. We can't even talk about it. It's just, it's too cool. It's too far out. But we can talk about Annapolis Comic Con.
That's right.
On June 29th. Also, check out magicbulletcomics.com. You'll find all the info you need to know about submitting your one-page comic and advertising in the issue with a print run of 5,000. You will be out there. People will see you. And our rates are very affordable. And if you don't know what Magic Bullet is, it's Washington, D.C.'s free comics newspaper. It's a large format publication where we feature all the artists and writers in the area that submit their work. We will feature you, we will showcase you, and we'll all rise to the top. Washington, D.C.
All rise.
Woo! Check
out. All rise in the proceedings.
Check out magicbulletcomics.com for all the info. And this next issue is a Halloween-themed issue. And it will be out in late August, but the deadline is August 1st. Or the sooner the better. But get all your stuff into us before August, and you will have a chance to be published in Magic Bullet.
You will have a chance. And also, don't forget to check out oneshots.com, one-shots.com. Just released another one-shots film starring Hannah Elvington. It's called The Dream Life, and I think you guys will definitely enjoy this one. It's the second part two of the trilogy, so there's another one coming out, and we'll announce when that the part three is coming out in possibly a few days or a few weeks, but definitely check that one out right now at this very second and share it with the whole entire world. Also, JoeCarabello.com is now live. Wow, I finally have a website, and it's so vain that it has my own name. So go check it out. JoeCarabello. Tell the world, guys. The whole entire world.
So how do you feel? Like, I guess now I'm okay with promoting my name like that, and you are as well, obviously. But, like, at first, the first, like, maybe 2 years I was just putting my stuff online, it felt really dirty. I was like, me, check out my stuff.
It's
check.
Dirty. Well, there's no
check me out.
Well, there's no photos of me on the JoeCarabello.com site, which is even better.
It doesn't need to be, like, photos of you. But like, in a way, anything that you do, you're just like, me. I'm always talking about myself.
But for me, like, thinking about this way, it's like, well, it's sort of like still under the same marketing brand of what you're trying to do. And I feel like that's, I mean, I already have, you know, I would already do enough with the promotion of Astray Productions, where it did seem, it was also just like ownership of my name.
Yeah.
Would have been nice, because now I think of like when you
would have been nice. It is nice.
It is nice. It's absolutely fabulous. But it's also like you get to that, I guess you get to that point, or I don't know. To me, it's like, again, I mentioned the ownership of your name. And of course, right now I'm still not on any social media except for doing little loopholes to promote one
you do
shots.
You shouldn't say you're not on it. You have accounts on it, but you're not being active at this time.
I'm inactive, and I'm purposely inactive, almost like as a protest, but really as just sort of a form of rehab. I'm still going through that right now. And I feel real good, actually. I don't feel that anger I had from constantly being on there. And I do get, like, when I do see a little bit slip out into the real world, I sort of still get that feeling of hate and anger and just anguish and just annoyance, like, instantly. So I know it's not time for me to go back on yet. But I did have little loopholes. If you guys can see the little hashtags, said promotion loophole whenever I do post. So bless you. And
I knew that was coming. I was trying to hold it in for like the past 5 minutes.
And I do see that I'm still, you know, I do see that, and it's still, you know, gets to me about a lot of the stuff. So if you guys want to reach me, it's still my email, if you know it. And if you know my phone, you can text me. Other than that, you'll be able to find it on JoeCarabello.com. But I do feel better. Bless you. And also, like, it's, you know, I don't know. It's not yet. Not until, like, the goals have been passed. But my loopholes to get on there have been little side-swiped loopholes through, like, Stitcher and promoting this show. Bless you. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't feel dirty about it. I don't feel dirty about having my own name. But also, I look at domain names as another way of, like, and, you know, like, in the real world, it's like a Lex Luthor plan to have, what's it called, like, property, you know, ownership of, like, realty, you know what I mean? What's that called? Like, real estate. It's like having real estate but online.
I think it's good to own your own name. I think, like, really, honestly, now I think about it, everyone should.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want someone else
like buying it.
You have yours on Twitter. I don't have mine on Twitter yet. Maybe I should.
Maybe you should, and maybe you don't have to use it necessarily, but you can have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things you don't want anyone else to like take over for whatever reason.
So I mean, is that weird? That's like, you know, a couple of years ago, it's like, oh, now you have your own name.
Well, because I guess there was you know, an anonymity or whatever of the, is that how you pronounce it? Anonymity?
Sure.
Of the
Amity Horror.
Yeah, of the internet. And, like, people would always have, like, the names that's Obi-Wan 629, yeah, or, you know, or shot R2-D2.
Shot in the face. Come on my face 5.
So, like, that was, you, I feel like you were never able to really know the person, it was, or they were just a big fan of something.
Yeah.
Or they were a bot. Who knows who they were, really?
Probably a bot.
But now I feel like if people can be more trustworthy of their message, if they have, like, their name, or if they have, like, something related to their name, but you still know it's definitely them. Yeah, the internet is changing. But I feel like now everything is, like, super transparent enough that people are using their real names again now.
But also at the same time, it's like having your name out there and having, like, joecarabello.com or something like that. It's easy accessible for people to hire me. You know what I mean? As opposed to, like, having to is this the real person? Who is this? Because I've had gotten that where people were like, yeah, I found you on the Astray Productions website. You know what I mean? It's true. I mean, that's a company. And, you know, that is a business. But at the same time, it's like, you know, after a while, you don't want to have them to go through so many loops to find me to do this. You know, it's like, to find me, to kill me, or whatever they want to do.
But also, like, I feel like as far as, like, the dirtiness and the self-promotion goes, I don't feel like that anymore. Like, I don't feel like...
the underground nature of being online is gone, right?
I'd say it's still there a little bit, but it's mostly now everybody's there. So it's like, everybody come join the party. And at this point, also if you're basically competing with people like uploading pictures of their cat and like their dinner and stuff, like it's like, well, at least I'm not like promoting my cat I don't have a cat, but like at least I'm not promoting like my dinner that I just ate. You know, like I'd rather, like, unless it's something fabulous. I mean, I can't say I've never put up a food picture. So I don't want to be hypocritical, but I've probably put up maybe like 4 or 5 food pictures in my life. So it's not like a constant thing. But what it comes down to is that there are some people that are kind of putting up like mundane pictures of their life. And like, or they want to, like, the worst, honestly, I don't even know who this was, but it was one of my friends on Facebook. Obviously not one of my close friends, because I don't remember who this was. But, like,
not
my friend, but, like, somebody who's friends with me on Facebook, like, literally posted a picture of, like, their backyard, and they were like, I did it, I mowed today. And I'm like, good for you. You mowed. Like, you should be doing that every once in a while. You know what? Like, I'm just like, really, you have to take a picture that you mowed?
Effort these days, it appears to be that doing effort... or even, like, you know, experiencing effort is an anomaly to people.
Yeah, and or
it's
even...
it's like, I actually went out today.
Yeah, they're like, I actually mowed today.
I actually worked out. I'm actually eating good. What are you doing? It's like, well, you're supposed to be doing that, sir.
Yeah.
And also, like, you're putting over yourself, so it's not like...
Well, that's what I'm like, just saying. Credibleness. Like, that's, like, their promotion of themselves is that they mowed, or, like, I worked out at the gym today. It was fabulous, you know, like, and it's like, well, okay.
Well, at the same...
You know, I worked out at the gym 5 days last week. I didn't post anything about it.
And I guess the other side, like, I guess the other side of that story is, like, you know, maybe not everyone's lives are super exciting. So when they do post something like that, it's like, that's all they have. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I have, you know, it's like, I don't get a chance to do anything. I'm stuck in my 9-to-5. So me sweeping the deck is all I really got.
I know, seriously, that'd be hilarious, though, if, like, as an experiment... I would just put up, like, really mundane stuff. It was like, I just drank a glass of water.
Yeah.
Hooray for me. And then, like, it has, like, my empty glass. You know, or something. Like, I don't know, just something stupid. I wonder, like, I don't really know if I want to do that because it's kind of stupid. But at the same time, I just wonder if, like, you'd get any feedback or anything, you know? Like, just for, like, a week just to see what people would do. Or if you don't get anything. Like,
I mean,
any reaction, or I mean, it's all about, like, people wanting attention when it comes down to it.
It's really all down to people wanting to be a celebrity, because, you know, like, even like us weekend or us weekly or whatever,
they're just like us.
Weekly, monthly, or whatever. Yeah, they're just like, that's just like us. They go to the grocery, you know. They tie their shoes too.
You know, it'd be amazing. What if we did, like, some type of project like that? Like, you know, whenever they take pictures of celebrities at the grocery, it's kind of like the surveillance, not surveillance.
It's paparazzi snipe.
Like, paparazzi,
you know?
Shot, like, somebody taking their picture, like, from behind another car of them in the parking lot
with their
baggage and stuff. And then, like, what if we took pictures of ourselves like that and be like, oh my God, I just spotted Joe Carbeo at grocery store.
Yeah. Maybe I can make that into a one-shot film.
Like,
it could be like the spying part, and people would be like, were you just spying on that person the whole time? break that wall.
The worst is, like, when people actually say that they saw someone, but they don't actually, like, go up to someone.
Yeah.
Like, when my coworkers saw you at Best Buy the other day, they're like, I saw him at Best Buy. And then later on,
like it was some sort of sighting, like a UFO sighting.
And then, like,
oh my God, Joe actually left?
Yeah, and then when
I leave,
like,
all the time,
questioned you about it, like, I was like, oh, did you see, like, my coworker there? And you're like, no. It's like, he didn't even, like, go up to you.
It's also, it's like, not like I would know who this coworker is.
I know,
either.
But, like, at least they can be like, oh, hey, I met you at the Christmas party, and I work with Carolyn.
And I would have just no-sold it and be like, some dude asking for my autograph again.
I know, but it's just, like, odd. It's like, people, I don't know, man. I don't know. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe he felt, like, awkward and he didn't really fully know you and didn't want to say anything. But then it comes back to me to be, like, reported. That's what I'm just saying. Like, even without Facebook, you're still, like, on surveillance.
Yeah. All right. The Facebook is just one giant government surveillance anyway.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, my thoughts on this whole NSA thing now is still basically like, well, I'm not...
More viewers for the Carolyn and Joe show.
Well, yeah. I'm like, hey, come and listen to our radio show.
We're talking crap about you.
But the thing is like, I actually do think it's, like, seriously dangerous. And, like, once you open the door for a couple people to look at you, and then you open the door for everyone else to look at you, you know, it's funny how they
already brought this up in the... Well, a lot of stuff, but also in the Dark Knight.
The thing is that it's one of those things that, like, everyone's kind of wondered for a really long time.
Oh, what's the positives of this?
Positives is if they actually do, like, get some big terrorist cell and they shut them down.
And then the negatives is everyone's freedoms are away.
Negatives is you lose your freedom.
And it's something that's, you know, it's interesting now because it's always... That was always something that we're always talking about before. It's like, we're always sort of joking, but not really joking, but sarcastically saying, like, not like we have freedoms anyway. They can put cameras on the side and they can look at us at all times. You know what I mean?
I mean, if they really wanted to, any of us, they could find out, you know, where we are. And it's not that hard, really, to find out where people are these days and, you know, lock us up. But, I mean, they've no reason to right now, but it's like, I guess, like... From one perspective, we're not doing anything wrong, so there is no reason to take it to that extreme length.
But the other side is everyone does something wrong.
Yeah, they're going to find something.
Yeah,
they're going to be like, oh, you didn't, you know, your house is not regulated to the proper HOA regulations, and this one piece of siding is the wrong shade of brown. You're out. We're locking you up.
It really is sort of that Lex Luthor effect of, like, well, you may not be, you know, you may not have done anything wrong. You may not be a terrorist, but we can't look bad. So we have to get you for something to be able to pull you out and we'll fix it out. But the way people look at you are going to be different now, but we can't be wrong because we're the government. And, you know, that's understandable. You can't have the government, our government looking bad because then looks bad to other countries and stuff like that. But also, you know, they'll be like, well, it's just number 45,684 person.
There's always that, like, person that needs to be made an example of. Like, even remember when the Napster stuff was happening a little bit over a decade ago? Everyone was, like, downloading music. It was like a free-for-all on the internet, all these free things.
Yeah.
And free downloads and stuff. And then they cracked down, like, on a couple people that were doing extreme downloading.
Yeah.
But then one of them, from what I remember, it wasn't, like, that many downloads. And they just, like, made an example of that person. They had her pay a fine and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, in my head, I was like, I'm sure there's other people that did worse than her.
And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure at that point trying to find terrorists or trying to find real killers, except for people trying to download, is...
Yeah, they were like, Usher lost some money here. We need to reevaluate the way we distribute music.
But also at the same time, it's always interesting at the same time to think about, like, you know, who's going to yield this power? You know, who's going to be able to, who's going to be the one in charge of, like, you know, all right, now I got to go bust in on this dude through his Facebook. And, you know what I mean? It's like, it's how do you use this power? It's really what it comes down to. Because really, if you're in the FBI, if you're in the CIA, if you're in the government, I've always thought about, if you're in the government, it doesn't really matter. You can go and do whatever the hell you want. That's always a power play. You're a policeman. That's why part of being, like, a policeman is also wanting to, like, you know, have power. you know, being in the government as a government official, it's like you have power. You're, you know, just like with Stephanie McMahon last night and AJ Lee on Raw, it's just like, well, AJ can talk as much trash to Stephanie as she wants, but then Stephanie's like, well, that's nice.
McMahon.
Or it's also like, well, I'm also your boss and I'm in control here. I can just take you away from all this stuff. So it's like, you know, so I guess you're in that point of you trust your leaders or you know what I mean? You, it's like, who's going to do this? Who, you know, that's really what it comes down to.
Another thing, like, I remember this woman, like, in my opinion, did wrong, but I don't remember the exact outcome. Like, on the DC Metro a few years ago, on the DC Metro, you're not allowed to drink or eat on the Metro. And I've seen people do it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, mostly with McDonald's food. They'll just, like, eat their fries and stuff. But apparently this one woman got in, like, extra big trouble because she was eating her McDonald's fries.
Well, I mean, that's already trouble right there.
I mean, people should know, like, there's definitely signage and stuff. And even, I think, sometimes they announce no eating.
So no eating, but you can bring it on?
You can bring it on, but as long as you have it, like, bagged.
Yeah, bag and tagged?
Yeah, like, you can't really have it, like, prominently. Like, they just don't want to they don't want to bring in, like, rats and stuff. Because I think on the New York subway, you are allowed to eat and drink. And there is, like, a cleanliness factor when you compare the D.C. subway to New York.
And the D.C. subway, you have people living down there and stuff like that. Not the D.C., I mean the New York.
Yeah. So basically D.C., I guess, tries their attempt to keep it clean. But this one lady was made a big example of because she wouldn't stop eating her fries.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well,
she wouldn't stop eating her fries. They are delicious. They have just the right amount of salt on that.
But yeah, like, I guess
they put so much salt on those fries.
Gotta love sodium.
I can just like picture like a lady being no, and just like finish and like no, I'm on and sit like, man, please give us the fries.
She's like, I'm the next Rosa Parks.
I'm taking it. I'm doing sit in.
I'm eating my fries. But it's like
one of the many thousands of protests that can happen.
The messed up thing though is like I seriously see people a lot eating and no one makes a big deal about them.
Well, someone's got to ring the bell on them first.
But it's like, apparently this Rosa Parks French fries lady.
Was it really a Rosa Parks?
Yeah.
I can picture it being a Rosa Parks.
Yeah, it probably was. But like, she, you know, she wanted her fries.
It's either
but
Rosa
was,
Parks
she was
or
made
Roseanne.
An example of. She was made an example of, so.
She was black bagged.
Yeah. I don't know what her punishment was, but I remember it being like a big ordeal.
But like, we do remember like a time, I mean, we were talking about like, oh yeah, we would always joke that like, oh yeah, freedoms, whatever. You know, they would find some sort of loophole to do whatever they want to you. You know what I mean? And that's like, that's the sorry fact is that like, no matter what, they can find something. They can take you in for questioning, but it's just like the amount of people that don't have the knowledge of saying like, do I have to be here? I don't have to be here if I don't have a lawyer. You can't hold me. If you're not under arrest, they can't keep you anywhere. A cop cannot come into your house. You know what I mean? Without them being invited in. Or without a warrant. Like, there's certain laws. If a lot of people, if they don't know certain logistics, they would just let people, you know, they would let things happen to them.
I think,
you know?
Also,
and if it's not recorded, then it doesn't even matter.
Also, what it comes down to is that people under age 30 really don't care.
That's true.
Like, they're like, oh, so what?
Well, like, majority of them, you know?
Majority, yeah.
They,
I mean,
their
I'm
priorities
sure there are
the priorities of that generation is different.
Yeah, they're all about, like, that attention. And so, like, they don't care what picture they post. They even, like, announce, like, oh, I'm gonna be going
to
be...
I just got arrested.
I'm going to go on vacation. See ya. And then, like, you know, hopefully their house gets robbed.
I mean, I remember, like, a photographer a couple of years... maybe it was last year, a couple of years ago, who was almost boasting that he got, like, you know, like, got arrested and was on property or something like that. And I was like, in my head, I was like, you know, that's cool. Like, you're making a stance and all, but like, there's different ways. You know what I mean? I feel like you boasting that image of you being arrested and stuff like that in RVA. I don't know. There's something that felt sort of unprofessional about it because like, it's not a done deal yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, yeah, cops will be assholes. Why would it be? If I was a cop, I'd be an asshole too. I'm probably an asshole in daily life. Because you know why? If you're not, no one's going to listen to you. No one's going to follow your. No one's going to follow, listen to what you say. And maybe that's what the government's doing. They got to appear to be strong. And which is, you know, which is totally acceptable. It's just like, who's going to yield this power? Who's making the decisions is really what happens.
Well, maybe
the pawns can be assholes.
Maybe I don't want to really know this, but like, if they were to take out like a dossier and be like, here's everything that we know about you.
And what if you're like,
that'd be actually quite frightening.
But also at the same time, it's like, wow, I want to meet this person who has to follow my life. And then I'll be like, so what did you think about me at this time? You know what I mean? It's like, what were your opinions when I did this? And you're like, well, you know, I thought it was, you know, it's sort of like it's if someone does have a dossier in your whole entire life, that means literally for several people, you are their daily's entertainment, the daily entertainment. You were the TV show of Carolyn was what they had to experience the whole time. So it's almost like
kind of sad for them.
Oh, well, it's their job. But at the same time, it opens up that door of like,
it's like the Truman Show,
the communication. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, so you saw me when I was here. Well, at the same time, if it's all correct and wise, it's like when you die and you go to heaven, they'll play back your life and they'll know everything that you did then.
Do you think that's what happens when you go up to heaven? They'll play a movie about your life or something?
I don't know if they play your movie, but apparently, you know, if you're being judged, you're being judged on your whole life. So it's like, well, it's recorded somewhere.
What do you think happens when you die?
I don't know. Go to heaven or hell? Just go into dissipate in the air? Your ideas live? I think your heaven and hell is whatever you truly feel about yourself. And, you know, that's how the honest truth. And that's how you be judged.
So you basically determine how you feel about yourself.
Well, it's the pure honesty part. That, I feel like that is what you're going to be judged on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no loophole around that. It's like when you shed all the bullshit, what you truly feel, your honest reactions and stuff like that, that's what you're going to be judged on. Not like the, you know, I feel like if you go, like, if there's like a, like, you know, whoever's judging you in heaven, you can't go and like bullshit and be like, well, I didn't really mean to be that. You know what I mean? I didn't really mean to be that asshole or something like that. And then be like, yes, you did. You know?
Wow. I wonder if there's a long line at the gate to be judged. Like, you have to, like, wait in line, like, if you're waiting to go to the bathroom or something.
Some would say that time doesn't exist, but if time keeps moving, no matter what, it's sort of like, time has to exist in a form, not in a physical form, then.
Remember in Beetlejuice, they had, like, those numbers, like, they were ordering at the deli?
Yeah, and the dude had, like, 6. And the other, and Beetlejuice had, like, 400, 5,000 million... Bazillion, bazillion, bazillion.
And he was basically Bazinga. Just hanging out in the waiting room.
Yeah.
I love that part. And then he has a shrunken head. And that's like, that moment is magical. Magical. Even like just to watch like two minutes of Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Is better than probably most movies. Speaking of movies. Speaking of movies, we did check out Man of Steel on Father's Day.
We did see that. What were your impressions of that? And yes, we are playing the score of that, so we don't get in trouble.
Well, Man of Steel, I didn't really watch or listen to many advancements in the plot or try to find out like spoilers going into it, because I don't do that anymore with movies.
That's good that you didn't try to find the spoilers of the movie going into it.
Yeah, and then like I know, I guess a couple people saw it on Friday and Saturday before, and they posted about it, and then like I just like glazed my eyes. I was like, ah, and like made my eyes look somewhere else, and like moved the screen.
What do you mean you glazed your eyes?
Like, you kind of like, can you make your eyes go out of focus?
Yeah,
that's what I. That's
is that what
I mean.
Glazing of the eyes is.
Yeah, like I just kind of like made a blurry glaze of,
as opposed to just like not looking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like I was like, I'll read, you know, down my scroll. Down my news feed or whatever, and then like people would post about it, and then like I'd see, you know, Man of Steel or something, or I'd see like Superman, and I'll be like, my eye. I just like move my eye.
The glazing of the eyes.
Yeah. So anyway, so I wanted to go into it fresh, but I guess I can just give my overall opinion.
But you knew there's a Man of Steel movie coming out.
I didn't even know it was called Man of Steel. I called it the Superman movie.
The Superman, because it's always going to be the Superman movie.
Yeah, because I didn't like know the full title.
I remember we were talking to your mom about this, and she didn't know like that Man of Steel was Superman. She's like, Man of Steel, what's that? And she's like, the Superman movie? Oh, I didn't know it was called Man of Steel.
Yeah. But that makes sense. At least my dad knew.
But I mean, that is the other. That's just like Batman, The Dark Knight. It's Superman, The Man of Steel. That's their. They're using just the taglines now that to sort of like sidestep the whole entire canon of it. You know.
Basically, what it came down to is I thought it was enjoyable. I thought it was a darker attempt at Spider-Man, a darker attempt at Superman. But I wouldn't say it was like overly dark. Like, it wasn't like some type of like emo thing, but it wasn't emo but it was Superman. I don't know,
did not have hair in his face.
It wasn't really like happy-go-lucky, the overall mood of it. It was more intense, and in that intensity, in a way, it might have been more realistic because it wasn't very cartoony. So if, like, you know, worldwide destruction was happening, the way that they approached it was through more of a realistic eye than, like, a joke. So it felt like it felt very realistic, like it could happen, and he could be, like an alien on this planet.
It's like a real Man of Steel alien on the planet.
Yeah. So that was, like, my overall vibe. And I enjoyed it. I can't, like, really walk away with it being like, oh, you should do this. Here's my opinion. You know, like, I can't really, like, go into it on that point of view. But all I can really say is, like, I enjoyed it. The casting was good. Lois was good. Superman was good. And the way that they ended the film made me really anticipate the sequel. Because they really, like, wrapped it up for that sequel and, like, the Daily Planet life of Clark Kent.
Yeah. Or not wrapped it up, but opened the door.
Opened the door. Better way of saying that.
But, I mean, here's the one, overall feedback as I glazed my eyes over the whole entire internet. Is that it really is, in a way, it's a love and hate Superman. Because there's this one... There's a certain side of Superman that people won't be able to give up. And that is that Christopher Reeve, that is that gee whiz, that is that sort of like youthful fun. Not youthful fun, but sort of like that classic, like, he's Superman! You know, like that era.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of generations that will not let that go. And then when they watch this, they're going to look at me like, that's not Superman. You know, why is there no jokes in here? And why isn't it blue and stuff like that? Why isn't it as...
I thought his suit was blue enough.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is not like... It wasn't cartoony, happy, you know what I mean? And they're like, it's... the other commentary is always like, all the superheroes are now brooding and stuff like that. And they'll have that... They'll have the realism where they're all having their take on that. And in my head, it's just like, well, that has nothing to do with the movie. That has something to do with the time it was released.
Yeah, so I can't base the time.
So if I watch a movie, people forget that when you watch a movie and when those lights go out, there's no other movie in the world that exists but this movie that's playing in front of you. And that's how I base all my experiences on watching movies, so to speak. So it's sort of... when I was looking over all the critics or what are the reviews, it's always like that. It's always a comparison of that, you know? And so, of course, when watching this one, and also already going into it, seeing the trailers, I knew this one. I was like, this one is going to have action. This one's going to have so much more visual action. And it's Zack Snyder, so he's not going to hide away from that. You know, and Christopher Nolan, there's going to be some sort of back and forth pacing, cutting happening. You know what I mean? And it's David Goyer, so he's going to do an intro. He's going to do the intro story and stuff like that. So you go in. I already gone in expecting traits from these creators. You know what I mean? You already know they make a certain type of thing, so that's what they're going to interject in the movie. But yeah, I was really interested to find that, like, it is sort of a love and hate movie with people. You know, they're like, there's no jokes in it. Is that a bad thing that there's no jokes in it? Because that's one thing I heard. It's like, they're like, once I realized there was no joke in any single one of it. And I was like, well, if you look at it, there was sort of a few jokes, but it's like, you know, where are you going to throw it in, man? But also, I didn't really mind that because... I have not ever seen a Superman movie like this before. If anything, the closest translation that this was sort of like the Flash TV show. How, like, the Flash, character on, like, the comic book character is a super bright and super cartoony character. You know what I mean? And he's super, like, happy. But then they made the first Flash TV show, and of course this is after Batman came out, and they made Flash super dark and super grim, and the world was dark. Except what the fact of that is, you know, I mean, you had nothing else, you know, it did run, but I don't know, maybe the stories weren't as exciting and the costuming didn't look as good. It was, just wasn't ready for our times.
I feel like our times are more somber times right now, and maybe even because of after 9/11 too. Like, I hate to be so dim on it, but it is true. Like, I feel like
it's a post 9/11 Superman.
Yeah, because I feel like before, like in the 90s and stuff, like, because I feel like everything was more happy-go-lucky and people were just like, la-di-da, we're going about life, yeah. You know, like that. And when was the Reeves, Christopher Reeves Superman?
I mean, that was the late 70s.
So do you think like, that's they're kind of still like, oh, we're liberating and like, la-da-da, well, Superman.
When the first Superman came out, for one thing, the tagline is like,
it's a plane.
No, that's always been the tagline of Superman, but the one for the movie is like, you'll believe a man can fly. So it's like they based it on that. They based it on that wonder of like, holy crap, you'll see someone fly in Superman. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I guess, you know, I failed to remember, but it's probably true that you never seen someone fly or any do super feats of strength. So it's like you're already in awe of that. So with that, with any origin story, it's like the same thing was the first Spider-Man. It's like you actually see someone go through the, you know, it's like you get this, you're watching it for this technological feat as well.
Yeah.
So it's like with Spider-Man, it's like you see Spider-Man like web sling across the city. We've never seen that before. You know, you get to see that. But in the first Superman, it was also like you'll see someone fly and move fast. We've never seen that before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So again, with any one of the remakes or the reboots, it's like, well, we already know the character. So actually the challenge is for the audience to take their mind away. And but also with this one, I don't really have to think that hard because I already knew it was going to be something completely different.
Yeah, because this Superman like really addressed the modern issues. Even, you know, that whole satellite thing, he brought down the satellite, and that's basically like an NSA thing. That's like, he was like, no, I don't want you to know where I hang my cape.
Can't you trust me? Just trust me. You know, I'm American. I was born in Kansas.
Yeah, like that whole thing, that is very current.
That didn't spoil or anything, sorry.
Well, I feel like if people haven't seen it either, you know, people that are listening right now, either they don't care about spoilers or they've already seen it.
Biggest June opening of all time.
Yeah, I mean, by now, like, if people really cared about spoilers, they probably would have, like, saved the rest of this episode until when they see it. But, like, I guess what I'm getting at is that, you know, they did address, like, very current issues. And that was good timing on their part. And it was something that people were already suspecting anyway.
I think that's what's cool about this one, too.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, I think it does speak to, like, the modern time Superman. And that's what's, interesting. And I'm not saying I'm disregarding the older Supermans that are, like, you know, like you're saying, gee whiz or whatever. Like,
I mean, they're great.
I'm just saying that, like, this is the Superman that best represents us right now. Like, if that was to happen, if all of that destruction and everything was to happen, it seemed very realistic to me. Like, it didn't seem cartoony.
And people might not know this about me, but I'm actually a big fan of Superman. You know, I'm actually a fan of the character. I might not buy every book out there, and I'm not going to go and read my statistics about any of that, but I really enjoy the character and what you can do, and I understand that he's one of the hardest characters to write for because he's Mr. Invulnerable. You can't destroy him. You can't harm him.
Except for Kryptonite.
But like, that's something they had to inject into the story to be like, well, he needs some sort of weakness. A man without a weakness, a man without a weakness is boring. So it's like injecting that into that. I understand that's a challenging character, and that you have to play God and have different things and create different things to make him in like just something that's interesting.
I thought they did a good tactic too of when he was young and how he was handling his powers, listening to every single voice out there in the whole world and
how it like really comes at you, right?
Yeah, and like basically that anguish because he didn't know how to harness his powers at that time. Like that whole scene, they did really well with all the layers of even sound and
see, that's
visual.
Also, that's what's always interesting. It's like when it's like usually when you find out you have a power, right? You know what I mean? Like, people, like, when you look back at it, people always ask you, like, the question's always like, what superpower would you have? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people have a choice. They're always, like, we're with that choice of, like, oh, you know, if I had a superpower, I would fly. You know what I mean? But, like, remember this. Like, Superman's character, growing up, he didn't have a choice of, like, what powers he's going to get. I mean, it's similar to, like, how mutants are represented. But, like, you know, with Superman, the original, basically almost like the original superhero, growing up, he didn't have a choice. So you're just sort of experiencing all these things. And also, probably in his world, no one else has these powers either. So you're just sort of, like, thinking, like, you know, like, it's sort of scary. And, like, I feel like that's how they perfectly, like, displayed that in the movie. It's like, this isn't, like, a fun thing, man. You don't know what's going to happen, you know? So it's almost like you are going through, like, that puberty and not knowing what your body's going to do. And that's sort of afraid. It makes you think, except, like, he was younger, I guess, you know?
Yeah. All those scenes were really good in the movie. There's, like, I don't know, like, I don't want to rank it or give it stars or a grade or anything, but I do think it was, like, a really solid film. And I can't think of really anything that, you know, from, like, the geek standard that you'd be like, oh, I would change that. You know, like,
well, then there'll be everything.
Like, I just...
All these non-creators will think if they can do anything.
I did notice that this is just very minor, but the dog was a different type of dog than how I'm used to.
What were you used to?
Isn't it like some type of golden retriever?
What type of dog was it?
The one that's in the film?
Yeah.
It looked like a German Shepherd.
Isn't it usually a German Shepherd? What color is that again?
It's kind of like a mixed colors.
Was it black and white?
No.
I always thought it was a German Shepherd. Is what color? Is it like
kind
gold?
Of like a... No, that's a golden retriever.
What's a German Shepherd?
A German Shepherd is kind of like a mix of different colors. There's like white hairs, there's gray hairs, there's black hairs, and there's like tan hairs, but they're all kind of together.
But let's also remember, like, he might get a new dog. Because I feel like this movie...
That dog was saved in a tornado.
When I watched this movie, I was like, all right, this is a good... You've reestablished what we can do in this Superman world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's just like in Batman Beyond, I was like, there's just enough of pure Batman for me to be like, okay, Dark Knight's going to be awesome, you know? So I feel like that's probably what's going to happen with this. It's like there's going to be either Brainiac or Lex Luthor.
So maybe, like, the dog is the best way to describe this movie, because, you know, everyone thinks of, like, the Golden Retriever as, like, oh, that's the friendly big dog, you
yeah,
know?
That's Crypto.
Yeah, and, like, basically...
Or Shelby.
Well, that would be Shelby. Crypto is kind of like a white dog that is... I don't know the exact breed, but it's, like, a white athletic dog.
Yeah.
And, Shelby is like the golden retriever from what I would guess. And like, you know, it's like kind of like the all American dog that's out there in the farm.
Yeah.
And, but this dog, maybe that's the best way to like really represent this Superman, because this dog was also friendly, but it was German Shepherds kind of have this reputation of being more intense. Like they will protect the house.
Yeah.
They will, I'm not saying Golden Retriever wouldn't, but I don't know. German Shepherds are just more fierce in that way.
Yeah.
Like, they're not a dangerous dog if they're trained properly, but they will protect. They're more of like a police dog.
Yeah.
So I guess that
so maybe that's
represents
what it is.
The movie. So instead, like, the best way to really describe it to people is kind of like, well, don't expect a Shelby, expect, like, a police dog. you know, like...
I mean, I think that is a good metaphor because, like, looking at it, it's like that's true because, like, usually that's a golden retriever or whatever. It's like a friendly dog of some sort. So,
yeah. And it's not like a massive, you know, more dangerous dog.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe to me, actually, that visual represents the movie, both movies, like the older, you know, Superman movies is like the golden retriever. And then this one is... This dog represents this type of movie.
Yeah.
But it's weird because, like, the dog doesn't get that much screen time. So at least it's, like, I don't know, to represent the whole movie just based on the dog is a little much. But,
no, but maybe
the best
maybe
way
that's
to describe
true,
it.
Maybe that's partially true, is that, like, maybe that's what they're thinking about it, too. Is that they're like, well, if we're going to go to
sort
of this darker
edge,
we're gonna, if we're not going to go as dark, we're going to, or if we're going to go dark, we got to represent it all around.
Yeah. And if you want to go real dark, then you go with the Doberman, which is Batman's dog, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the darker dog right there.
That's Ace.
Ace the Doberman. So I don't know about you, but like personally, if I were to get a dog, I'm not really the biggest fan of German Shepherds and Dobermans. Like, to me, they're more, like, again, they have to be trained properly, but to me, that's more of a dangerous type dog, because they're police dogs.
Yeah.
And, like, I like dogs that, you know, maybe, like, lap dogs, or you can cuddle or something. You know, like, I don't want to have, like, some intense dog. That, to me, those dogs are too intense.
I think it really is great to see that, like, there's a lot of people that want to stand up for this Superman. There's also some people that are, like, against... They're like, you know, they're the against the change. But at the end of the day, I enjoyed it. I mean, the action itself, like, just blew my mind. And I feel like they have, because I feel like you have so many people that fly this day and age that already fly, you know, like, you can have that. But when I saw this, I was like, well, you're going on destroying the world type destruction with this one.
Yeah.
Like, so I thought, like, all right.
It wasn't just Metropolis. It was global.
It was global.
It was actually universe.
It was like this massive, massive, epic destruction, you know? I feel like they pulled a little bit from Marvel Man, too, with the realism. And that's one of the best references is to pull from Marvel Man as a destruction reference. And that's like, when I was looking at that, I was like, wow, this is like, imagine if they did that at that scale. And that's basically what it was. So I think, you know, I really enjoyed it, you know, And when I was done, I just knew. I was like, you know what? The internet's really just going to... When you see everyone's opinions all at once, it's sort of just like, well, it's going to be love or hate. That's all you really get.
And also,
putting scales on it, it's not going to do it anymore.
I don't understand, like, why people read other people's opinions more before they even see the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, a thing that people want, though. Like, yeah. I'm, like, the opposite of that. Like, I'm like, I don't want to hear about it before I see it first. But there apparently are some people out there that love to read, like, the Siskel and Ebert or whatever, like, reviews even before they see the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing. But I'm not down with that thing.
I mean, that's why people, when a lot of people are like, are you going to go see this movie? Or what'd you think about this? Then the next reference is always like, well, they gave it this or this or this.
And it's they want, like, a sure hit before they invest in going to see it.
Yeah, so that makes it almost impossible to do anything because, like, no one's going to give you a sure thing. But if it is, like, a sure hit movie, like, the big ratings I see will be Sofia Coppola's new movie. It's like, well, is everyone just going to go and rush out to see
The Bling Ring? No one's going to rush out to go see that, but at least with...
But that got big reviews, right?
But any type of, like, superhero movie... They're already gonna, like, do very well.
And also, like, at the same time, if you look at reviews, are they gonna be like, well, it didn't get 10 stars and something like that.
Yeah, it only got 9.5.
Yeah, it's only 9.75. You know?
What is a 2/4 of a star? It's just like a point.
I don't even.
They get like 1 point of the star.
It's that one percentage or that one whatever seems to make people, like, think
that
about
that point
it
0.75 that's missing.
Well, it's not. It's 9.7 as opposed to 9.8. I don't know if I'm going to see it now.
Rotten Tomatoes said.
Yeah. But it's amazing when you do see the Rotten Tomatoes how much the... Because they got the two percentages. They have the critic percentage and they have the fan percentage or the audience percentage. And the audience percentage is, like, massive. It's like
that's a pretty good
percentage above the critic percentage. And that's how it is. Well, thanks, everyone. Thank you for listening to the super... episode of the Carolyn and Joe show. The show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Go to astrayproductions.com. Go to goastray.tumblr.com. Also now joecarbello.com. And also check out the newest One Shots film now at one-shots.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
Check out my Curls comic strip at www.curls-studio.com. And we will see you on June 29th at Annapolis Comic Con. Come one, come all. We'll be in Maryland from 10 to 6 on June 29th. Find out more info at curls-studio.com.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Send them home, Carolyn.
Adios, America and beyond. We are the kids.